see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show. I'm your host, David James. Well, you know, Disney is in the news an awful lot, ladies and gentlemen. And as I've been doing this series, I've noticed it more and more and more. I think you should pay attention more to that when you see those headlines. Before we get into the Disney bloodline thing, I have an article here, and it's called "These Are the Most Bizarre Crimes Ever Committed at Disney World and Disneyland." The reason why I'm reading this is because it attests to the things that were talked about in the book. Remember, in the book, it was the 90s. This article is from May 7th, 2018. We'll just take a brief look. Walt Disney parks and resorts are American icons. There are six family vacation destinations to date: Disney Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Hong Kong Disneyland Resort, Tokyo Disney Resort, Shanghai Disney Resort, and Disneyland Paris. Adults flock to the parks for a fun day with the kids. To be kids themselves for a while. This is a Jew writing the article, too. You know, they love to call our children kids when it's their children that are the kids. And sometimes to get married in a fairy tale setting. Remember that was just talked about? Disney parks might be where dreams come true, but that's not all that happens there. Well, is it really where dreams come true? See, sometimes you just should leave your dreams where they belong, in your bed. That was me talking, of course. So it says, sometimes Disney parks are where nightmares come true. Keep reading to discover the strange crimes that people have committed at Disney parks and decide for yourself if it's really the happiest place on earth. Now, you know that the Groids just had a big brawl there. It was some Groid family, big brawl. And, you know, wherever the Groids go, there's always problems because they're a problem-laden people. The first crime is a hostage situation. In September 1992, an incident took place at Disney's Epcot theme park. A 37-year-old man entered the park after it closed, demanding to talk to his ex-girlfriend, according to the Orlando Sentinel. He was pointing a gun at Disney security guards when he made his demand. He fired off 4 shots at the guards and took 2 hostages in a restroom. Sheriffs immediately responded and surrounded the restroom, and the man sent the hostages out. He followed them, holding the gun to his chest. He had a short conversation with the sheriffs and then shot himself in the head. He was rushed to the Orlando Regional Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead on arrival. Okay, that's a little, but this is really the next one. 2, child abuse. A man was arrested at Epcot Center after allegedly kicking a 3-year-old son in the face, according to the Daily News. Several witnesses claimed they saw the 41-year-old doctor from Italy kick his son while he sat in his stroller, and that he had bloodied the child's face. The father would not let Epcot employees take his son to the hospital. He was arrested and charged with child abuse. When he got back to Italy, he claimed he actually kicked his 9-year-old son for overturning his brother's stroller, as if that's a whole lot better. 3, aggravated battery. It's a strange world we're living in, folks. You know, you just never know what you're going to hear next, right? I mean, isn't it strange? Okay, a man was charged with aggravated battery after an incident at the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival on October 2013, according to the Orlando Sentinel. It began at the Innovations East attraction when the intoxicated 23-year-old U.S. Navy Academy graduate tried to take a cargo work cart for a spin. Security officers respond and he fled. Next, he punched 2 employees in the head and assaulted other workers with a plastic pipe. All 3 cast members suffered minor injuries and the man was arrested. A pepper spray incident. I'm not going to go through all these. A group attacks a sheriff. A woman attacks a student for blocking her view. A man molests teenagers. Let's look at that one. In 2009, July, a 51-year-old man allegedly tried to remove 5 teenage girls' swimsuits while they were in the wave pool at Disneyland. Security responded first, followed by Orange County deputies. The deputies charged the man with lewd and lascivious molestation, according to the website Viralux. Next one, man gropes mini. Yes, it's true. In June 2009, a 60-year-old man allegedly groped Minnie Mouse at Disneyland. They were taking a photo together when the field took place. The case actually went to trial and the perpetrator pleaded guilty. He was convicted of misdemeanor battery, according to the Daily Mail, and sentenced to probation and community service. So you can see there's some bizarre things that go on. List of incidents. This one's called I'll just quickly take a look at this if we can, that is. A list of incidents. Well, it's probably too long to really go through. Yeah, I'm not going to go through it all, but it's very interesting. Some headlines. Staying safe while on a Disney vacation at Walt Disney. Really weird things that happened at Disney World. 4 outrageous crimes committed inside Disney parks. These are all the different headlines. Pretty strange. That's all I'll say is it's pretty strange. So the things that go on there seem to be just as bizarre as the place itself, as you can see. Let's take a look at the book we've been reading. And we're on page 240 of the Bloodlines of the Illuminati. I call it the Jewluminati. H. Disney and its mob connections. Now, this is very interesting, isn't it? When this author, that's speaking of Fritz Springmeier, spoke to the co-author's deeper Juilluminati altars about Disney, their reaction was that Disney had been described to them when they were in the Juilluminati as a syndicate within a syndicate. Now, listen, I'll just stop right there. I mean, how can I not? Everywhere the Jew is, if they're in Freemasonry, it's a secret society within a secret society. If they're in the government or a state, it's a state within the state. And here we see a syndicate within the syndicate. We know that the mob are Jews, and the Italians who have Jewish blood in them and Negro blood in them and so on and so forth, not to be confused with the Italians. So we know that all this is Jew connected. So let's continue then. So now we see a syndicate within a syndicate. They said that while in the Juilluminati, they were aware that Disneyland had their own government, their own rules, and their own police force. They were a crime syndicate within a syndicate, it says. What these Juilluminati altars casually mentioned was verified by this author the hard way through research. One Disneyland security supervisor said, "There is no constitution at Disneyland. We have our own laws," quote unquote. Once when Walt Disney got miffed at a Hollywood policeman, Walt said, "I'll have your badge," quote unquote. If Disney guards decide to, they will get very rough physically with people and assault them in any fashion they see fit. The people they detain are often thrown into tiny cells at Disneyland where they are kept without benefit of a phone call, without benefit of a toilet or water. The judicial system turns a blind eye to whatever Disney police do. Well, I'll tell you something right now. The judicial system turns a blind eye to everything good. There's a story right now where it says, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you something that I was discussing this with somebody, and it's like, I have to just tell you, and what I said to them was this. I don't know about all these news stories, if they're even true stories or not. How can you really know? Because there really isn't that much news. They have to keep creating stories as fillers and so on and so forth. So who knows how many of these stories are true? But supposedly in Texas, I believe it was, a judge ordered that a man has to bring his child up as a transsexual. Now, number one, I don't see how any judge can order anybody to bring their child up as a transsexual. That is ridiculous. But in this world we're living in, I suppose it's possible. Whether the story's true or not, I can't say. Because there's so much fake news, who can say? But it just shows you, think about it for yourself for a second. You're a judge in a court, and you're going to tell somebody that they can't bring up their child as a normal child, they have to bring them up as a transsexual. And you're going to be able to sleep at night? You see, these people don't have any conscience. You see what I mean? These people, they go to the Bohemian Grove. And I told you that the Grove is something in the Bible that our own people would build these altars in groves, high mountain places and things like that, and worship other gods. And the Father didn't like that at all. And he wanted those groves broken down. Well, this is the same thing as the Bohemian Grove. They do the cremation of care ceremony there. Anyway, so imagine being kept in a cell at Disney World. You go to Disney World with your family, and you're kept in a cell, treated roughly, and you don't have the benefit of having a phone call or a toilet or water or anything. So let's continue. Many people pay Disney to get their children out of a Disney cell and never get due process of any law. This type of treatment has gone on for decades and is almost a daily occurrence in Disneyland. The Anaheim Police Force is very chummy with the Disney Private Police Force. Also, at one point, the Burbank Chief of Police was the brother-in-law to Disney's Chief of Security. Recently, when a couple filed a wrongful death suit against the Magic Kingdom of Disney in Florida, the state of Florida surprisingly had appeared to have backed off from their traditional behavior of protecting Disney's sovereignty. An article on the suit said, "There is evidence of some nervousness with Disney's relative autonomy." San Francisco Chronicle article, "Mickey's Dark Side," quote unquote, October 1st, 1996, page C6. An attorney in the case said, quote, "Disney World security people aren't just cops, they are bad ones. I don't think there is any corporation that has ever had the perceived power that Disney has," unquote. Richard Fogelsong, a professor of politics at Rollins College in Winter Park, stated, "Because Disney, Winter Park, Florida," he stated this, quote, "Because Disney World controls so much of its corporate and municipal universe, it can't help but act in a heavy-handed manner in order to ferociously protect its self-interest. They have immunity from state and local land use law. They can build a nuclear plant, distribute alcohol. They have the powers local communities don't have. Do they abuse it? In my opinion, yes," unquote. In line with Disney's previous dictatorial policies, on their properties, Disney's new city called Celebration will not have any elected government. Since the city is unincorporated, a neat Disney trick, the mayor is appointed by Disney. Several Disney quasi-government, quote-unquote, bodies control citizens of the city. For instance, the Celebration Residential Owners Association, which participates in the binding of all residents to a Declaration of Covenants, a legal binder of rules that residents must live by. Of course, the Declaration of Covenants was written by Disney. These rules include such nitpicky things as no more than two people can sleep in the same bedroom, no pickup trucks can be parked in front of homes, and if Disney officials don't like your cat or dog, they can forcibly remove the animal from your home. Disney Corp has perpetrated numerous deceptions on the residents, including shoddy work on their homes and operating their quote-unquote public school with Disney cronies. Still, the residents that have moved into Celebrations are glowing with praise for the town, in spite the fact that the city is totally run by Big Brother Disney Corp. Of course, those who don't love it soon leave. So much for the American tradition of self-government. Very interesting what goes on here. I mean, that's like an experimental society where you can be brainwashed and they can just probably add addendums to the covenant at any moment. I mean, it must be really incredible that there are people and families that would live in a city like that and allow themselves to be guinea pigs. I mean, we're all guinea pigs anyway, but you know what I'm saying. So this is some mob history. Back to the article. Traditionally, the mob crime bosses have had a yearly summit. In 1928, they had a yearly conclave at Cleveland. In 1929, they had their secret yearly conclave at Atlantic City. In 1931, they held their secret annual conclave at Wappingers Falls, New York. At the Wappingers Falls meeting, attended by about 300 overlords and soldiers, the head of the family clans discussed their crime family agendas. They decided where the first National Mafia Convention was to be held, Once the mafia was able to hold their nearly private national meetings, they were able to coordinate their activities as well as decide such things as, okay, listen now, ready? This is the things that they can decide. A direction of national and internal operations and long-range plans. That's A. B. The promotion of new bosses. C. Decisions on turf and rank, commodities and cash. D. Hashing out alliances or disputes with the Mishpucha, you know, the Jews. Triads, the Chinese. FBI, see, the triads are a Chinese mafia. The Mishpucha are the Jewish mafia. And the regular mafia is the Italian Jewish mafia. But it's all run by the Jews. So listen to this. Because I told you the FBI is foreign by Israel. All right, listen. D, the hashing out alliances or disputes with the Mishpucha, triads, FBI, Jewilluminati, etc., and working with others on in a concerted manner. The mafia clans would then leave the annual summit meetings and follow through in their area of operations until they would meet next year, review the successes and failures, get new assignments, and decide upon new short and long-term goals. In 1927, the Mishpucha worked with the mafia to hijack a bootleg shipment of whiskey traveling from Ireland to Boston for the Kennedy Jewilluminati family. Most of Kennedy's guards were killed in the shootout, and J.P. Kennedy, Joseph, the father of these scumbags, had the widows of the guards besieging him for financial assistance. Billy Graham, the Jew, his good friend, Mafia Chief Joseph Bonanno, was one of the chiefs who attended the yearly conclaves. He also met with JFK in the winter of 1959. John Kennedy was known to have said that mobster Sam Giancana worked for his Kennedy family. The mob Jewilluminati alliances and infighting are too complex to deal with in this book, but both groups had to put plans into action to deal with the repeal of Prohibition, which would end their lucrative bootlegging. The short term. See, the reason why I explained before, the reason they brought the mafia here through the P2 Lodge, Freemasonic Lodge in Italy, they brought them from the islands, the ghettos of Sicily, and they brought them here so that they could take control. I'm speaking they, the Jews, would take control of liquor all over the world, all over our country, especially in our country. And I described how the farmers used to make their own liquor, and they used to run their tractors off the liquor, so they didn't need the gas. You know, they didn't need to buy gas off Jews and things like that. So the Jews wanted to make sure they changed all those things. And so what it says here, what you're reading here is, it says the short-term plan, the alliances and infighting are too complex, right? So, but both groups had to put plans into action to deal with the repeal of Prohibition, which would end their lucrative bootlegging. See, all that lucrative bootlegging meant that now the Jew had control over the liquor industry and all liquor. So the article continues, the short-term plan for the mafia was to control the film industry in Hollywood. Ha, 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 very funny. And to penetrate the unions better. The long-term plans called for sending their few generations of children off to top schools and getting them into legitimate, respectable corporate positions by learning the ins and outs of honest legal operations. They could then mix in the illegal operations with their legal ones and look legal. Sounds like Judaism, doesn't it? They planned to extend their power base into politics, which they have, the Harvard Stanford business schools, as well as the finest corporate boardrooms. They've intended and have exceeded in and have succeeded in getting some of their offspring to produce TV films. They would have an increasing presence in the Bohemian Grove membership, as well as some of the other great social and business clubs. Their plan to take over the film industry hinged on the union control over unions and theaters. The Chicago mob controlled the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees Union. The mob controlled the Projectionists Union. And if the filmmakers had the theaters where their movies were shut down, what good would it be to make movies? The filmmakers and the mafia both had power and money. Rather than fight a protracted war, they made a deal. See, the Jew made a deal with the Italian Jew and other Jews. That's all it means. That's all it is. The major studios would give about $50,000 a year to the mafia, and the small ones $25,000 to be allowed to function. Other agreements were also reached. Mob henchmen Willie Bioff and George E. Brown were mob lieutenants who orchestrated the mob's Hollywood takeover, quote-unquote. Time magazine, November 1, 1943, wrote, "In the witness chair in Manhattan's federal court sat Bland Willie, Wiley Willie Bioft, pronounced Bioff." Oh, really? "Blackmailer, panderer, labor leader, and now star witness against 8 ex-pals who are charged with shaking down $1 million from the movie industry. Question, was it that Bioff once had a five-year plan, for taking over 20% of Hollywood's profits and eventually 50% interest in the studios themselves? Bioff wistfully, he says this, "If we'd lasted that long, we would have. Question, did you ever say you were the boss of Hollywood, and could make producers do whatever you wanted? Bioff. Yes, and I could make them dance to my tune," unquote. Although Bioff rolled over on his pals and ended up, so he's a rat, right? But he was a rat in the first place, right? Rats becoming rats. You know, it's nothing new. He ended up getting car bombed. That didn't stop the mob and Mishpucha, the Jewish mob, infiltration and control of Hollywood. Bioff had tried to save his public image by helping Walt Disney settle his labor dispute with the mob-led unions, but Walt wisely re-elected his offer of help. It should have said rejected, excuse me. It says re-elected. But Walt wisely rejected his offer for help and made sure he didn't offend the Chicago mob leaders who were disgruntled with Bioff. Hundreds of millions of dollars were poured by the mafia and Mishpucha into real estate in Southern California by using legitimate local businessmen to launder the money. Hollywood was declared a free zone, quote-unquote, where all the mafia Mishpucha families could operate without the fear of a turf war. Let us backtrack slightly to 1930. Columbia distributed Disney cartoons from 1930 to 1932, when Disney switched to United Artists because Columbia wasn't bothering to pay Disney the money they owed. In 1930, Cohn, you know what that is, president of Columbia Pictures, Cohn the Jew, got Disney off the financial hook with Powers by intimidating Powers with some street toughs carrying a legal suit. If Disney wasn't indebted to the mafia before, he was at that point. Biographers have been puzzled why Disney went into such traumatic depression after Henry Cohn, quote-unquote, helped him. Well, that's what happens when a Jew, quote-unquote, helps you. Tough guy Henry Cohn made sure Walt knew who was the boss. His attitude was that Walt should be happy to be paid off, to be paid at all by him for the cartoons Walt supplied Columbia. After this, Walt would lock himself in a room and weep uncontrollably for hours. He was impossible for anyone to get along with. He was unable to focus on anything and would stare for long periods out the window. Biographers blame Walt's behavior on the fact that his wife was pregnant. They also blame it on his friend Iwerks' defection to another company. Frankly, Walt had treated Iwerks like a dog, and deep down he must have known why Iwerks left such an abusive relationship. To claim that he wept for hours day after day because he realized he might become a father is too much to swallow. When Walt was asked years later about why he was so depressed, he said it was the stress of the financial situation. Walt said, "I had a nervous breakdown. Costs were going up. Each new picture we finished cost more to make than we had figured it would, than we figured it would earn. When we first began to plan it, I cracked up." The author submits to the reader that part of his breakdown may have indeed been the financial stress from having come under the heels of the mafia. They had all the means to make or break him, and he had no choice but to surrender to their overwhelming power to blackmail and destroy him, or get out of the business. What this did was place Walt in a position where his two strongest traits had to clash: his overwhelming obsession to be his own boss and his creative obsession to create animation, which was wrapped up with his ego and his deep phobias and psychological needs. His mind couldn't give up its independence nor its creativity without a great mental anguish. And therefore, Walt was very saddened, knowing that he would have to admit defeat and buckle under the heels of the big boys. Just when he needed emotional support, his wife was going to have a child, and his best animator left. Walt had abandoned Iwerks years before, and Walt's wife wanted to have a child for some time. Iwerks' departure and his arriving child did not in themselves account for the long, intense, nervous breakdown that Walt experienced. Biographers point out at that point that Walt was very reluctant to have children and that he was impotent with women, including his wife, much of the time. His impotency to carry out normal sex may help to explain his secret sexual habits. Walt's Masonic brother, Carl Lamille, offered Walt a good deal to help him recover from Henry Cohn's abusive control of Walt, but Carl wanted the copyright to Mickey Mouse in return for the help, and Walt wouldn't part with Mickey Mouse. Instead, Walt signed a contract offered by Joseph Schneck of United Artists, who was one of the mafia's illegal drug kingpins. He's a Jew, you get it? In 1935, the mob's illegal drug dealer, Joseph Schenck, went on to found 20th Century Incorporated, which later merged with Fox in 1938 to form 20th Century Fox, 666, whose board of directors would include two Jewilluminati kingpins, William Randolph Hearst, who brought the Jew Billy Graham and supported him and brought him into fruition, and Malcolm McIntyre, Joseph Schenck's brother, Nicholas Schenck, and Marcus Lowe merged Metro Pictures and Goldwyn Pictures and named Louis B. Mayer as its head. Meanwhile, over the years, MCA, headed up by Jewilluminati kingpin Lou Wasserman, gained a monopoly over the American film industry with the secret backroom deals that they made with Ronald Reagan's Screen Actors Guild and Petrillo's American Fed of Musicians. By the way, Lou Wasserman would try to revive Reagan's acting career in the early 60s. Frank Sinatra and Walt Disney were both friends of Ronald Reagan, and all three believed in mind control. Ronald Reagan and Petrillo, in turn, worked with the mafia's NCS Council of Nine. Hello. I hope you're listening. What do you think of all this? Is this not amazing? Anthony Accardo and Sam Giancana, you know that name, right? Which at one point divided the U.S. into 24 mob territories. After Jay Schenck went to jail very briefly, that is, he was replaced as president of 20th Century Fox by Spiroscurus. Before his arrest, while Schenck was still in charge of 20th Century Fox, he made numerous offers to Disney for Disney to incorporate his studio as a subdivision of 20th Century Fox. Disney worked for a few years with them distributing his films, but he would not let go of trying to be independent. The FBI and American intelligence turned to the mob. Listen very carefully. Hello. The FBI and American intelligence, you know, CIA is Jew, right? CIA 13, right? Yeah. So, listen. The FBI and American intelligence turned to the mob to help them as the U.S. entered World War II. Perhaps Walt's mob connection added impetus for this recruitment. Walt went to a number of American Nazi meetings prior to Pearl Harbor. This author believes, from knowing Walt's personality, that Walt may have been on an assignment rather than a Nazi sympathizer. Still, why does one of Disney's pre-Pearl Harbor cartoons display a swastika? Disney's Epcot Resorts is close to the mob's Atlantic City boardwalk with its nightclubs. The resort was designed by Robert A. M. Stern, another Jew. This author doesn't know about Robert Stern, but there are program multiples and Jewilluminati members within the Stern family. At Walt Disney World, the nightclub where there was named Cage, quote-unquote, and then later 8 Tracks, quote-unquote. Comedy Warehouse, which is a nightclub at Pleasure Island in Walt Disney World, opened on May 1st. You know what that is. May Day, right? You know what that means. That's a pagan holiday. That's communism. Yeah. You know, that shows you that when our military would say, May Day, May Day, that tells you who was really the evil military. It certainly wasn't the Germans. And it certainly wasn't the Japanese. That says everything to me. I don't know if you understand. I'm sure some of you do, but May Day is a very, it's a communist thing. It's a communist celebration. And it's also a pagan day. So Walt Disney, this nightclub opened on May 1st, 1989, and has used slave comedians as well as people who are mind control abusers. Listen to this. On February 11th, February 1987, Walt Disney Company was reincorporated in Delaware. Delaware is the only state, here's something that's going to tell you a secret right here, right now. Delaware is the only state that allows total corporate secrecy. Can you say IRS? The IRS is incorporated in Delaware. It's a private company. It's nothing to do with the federal government whatsoever. It's linked to the Federal Reserve, which is also nothing to do with the government whatsoever. So as you see, Delaware is the only state that allows total corporate secrecy. No one can find out who is really running a Delaware corporation. So you can't find out who runs the IRS, you see? And many other secrets can be hidden under Delaware's corporation laws. Capital Group has considered shares in Disney as well as 29% of the shares of Robert Mondavi. Remember I told you about that? That's where the it's got a satanic, he's a Satanist, and there's satanic things over there in that winery where the Rothschilds are. Remember? So, you know, the Capital Group has shares in Disney as well as 29% of shares in Robert Mondavi's winery, 7801 St. Helena Highway, Oakville, California. Wellington Group and Mellon Bank also have shares. Behind the Capital Group are mob-controlled groups like Di Bartolo Realty Corporation, and LA La Quinta Inns. You've seen those La Quinta Inns, right? A Bass Brothers operation. You remember the Bass Brothers from earlier in this series. Sam Bronfman operates Sterling and Monterey Vineyards. There are countless people walking around that have felt the ruthless, impersonal, controlling, money-grabbing side of the Disney Corporation. Also, there are a number of journalists who have experienced firsthand the secrecy and paranoia that the Disney Corporation has. Most journalists are not used to the secrecy that pervades Disney. Because Disney has shaped the myths of America for several generations, the public takes more concern over who is running Disney than they would other institutions. And you should, because they're run by Jews. I call it Disneyburg now. Because most of America believe that the image of the Jewilluminati, this image that the Jewilluminati have built for Disney, they are rooting for it to succeed. Just like everything with our people, they're rooting for their own destruction. They support their own destruction. They defend their own destruction. They want their own destruction. And they will have it, obviously. The problem is those of us in our own race that don't want to be destroyed, you know, have to go along. You know, I don't mean go along, but, you know, we're all put in the same mix of it, you know. So we have to take the punishment that these other people take in many cases. Our people don't know, they just don't understand how they're destroying themselves. They just don't see that they're defending the very people that are killing them. They're defending the very people that are genociding them. They're giving money to Israel and playing along with the lies that Jesus is a Jew and that the Jews are God's chosen people and all these things to their own demise. And our people acquiesce. They acquiesce by helping the liberal agenda, by joining Freemasonry and helping the Jews through the Freemasonic organizations, and on and on and on it goes. Believe me, many of our people are going to be on the side with the goats, and they're going to be in the same place with the goats. I had a fellow write me this week, and, you know, he's trying to control what I'm going to talk about and this and that, and he's upset that I do the numbers thing. It upsets him greatly, and he doesn't like the Bible. He called me a Bible thumper. The thing he doesn't know is, if you don't love my father and you're an antichrist, I couldn't care less what your opinion is, because you're already a walking dead man like many of the people of my race. I don't care about your opinion. And you will not control me. You will not control and try to control or get me to do anything that you want to do, because I will obey the Father. Now, he didn't like any of that about the Father. He doesn't like that at all. And he said that fireside chat has turned into a Bible study. But see, fireside chat can be about anything. And it's whatever the Father wants it to be. How do you like that there, Antichrist? See, I don't care about opinions of the Antichrist. I don't care about opinions of walking dead men in our race. They're dead to me. Now, I'd like them to wake up and be saved and to understand the Father and all that kind of stuff. But you see, when somebody has a vehement hate for the Father and the Word and the truth and anything, they don't want to learn. They just, you know, what's funny is the fellow writes me twice about this, and I finally told him, just go back and watch Jewish television. They're the ones that taught you to hate the Father and the Word. You know, if you don't like what I'm teaching, there's about 99% other things that are Antichrist news shows. Go listen to the Antichrist, you Antichrist. Don't bother with me. If you don't like the Father's word, don't try to get me to change that. I'm going to do what the Father wants. I'm certainly not going to listen to the Antichrist or to a walking dead man. That's what you are, a walking dead man. So let's continue a little longer and see. Okay, let's do this. How Disney executives have figured out how to steal land all across the U.S. Now, who do you know that wants to steal land too? Right? Over the years, Walt Disney has developed several very sneaky, reliable techniques to acquire land. They acquire land through their executives and large stockholders and family members of the executives and stockholders. After all, the deals are made in an area, and when everything is in place over a period of time, these people then turn their land over to Disney. Disney works with government officials and local bankers to line up special deals so they can succeed in their plans. After everything is lined up, see, this is what it is. Our government officials and corporations and everything, they're lining up to steal everything, just like the Jew is lined up to steal. And they're using the Jew to steal everything, right? But the Jew loves all this anyway because they stole Disney. You see? So they just participate and help them steal all the land they can, and then they just steal Disney. It's that simple. Let me take a sip of my iced coffee. You know, these things are a no-brainer. So Disney works with government officials and local bankers, hello, to line up special deals so they can succeed in their plans. After everything is lined up, get it? The corporation announces their plans and goes forward. This methodology has been used repeatedly. For instance, the American History theme park in the Manassas Civil War battlefield area of Virginia, for which Disney has acquired 1,800 acres and has access to at least 1,200 more. In November 94, after a new Virginia governor was elected, the Virginia Disney's America, quote-unquote, project was announced. And Virginia voted almost instantly for the money for transportation and infrastructure improvements to the area so that Disney's theme park would be viable. Disney set up three banks in Napa, California. Their banks made loans to old families in the valley. The trusts and the wills for these families were made up by the Stanford University grads. These people sat on the boards of these banks or connect with the boards of these banks. They charge large fees and know every trick in the book to rob people of their estates and their living trusts. The Stanford grads who connect with the intelligence agencies, hello, and the mob, hello, use certain code words and numbers, of course, when they set up their businesses, such as Resource Evergreen and Pacific. There are a number of scarred landholders who are being intimidated to sell their land in the Napa Valley region. It's a filthy world we're living in, folks. It really is a filthy world. And it's so deeply entrenched that only the Father himself can destroy all of it and clean it up. Okay, Disney and the government. Just prior to World War II, the FBI recruited Walt Disney, remember? The queer Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover. His job was to spy on Hollywood or anything else that looked suspicious. Documents obtained from the Freedom of Information Act, in spite of having heavy censoring, clearly show that Walt Disney became a paid special correspondent asset of the FBI. He reported to FBI agent E.E. Conroy In 1954, Walt was promoted to special agent in charge, which means others reported to him. After leaving, quote-unquote, the CIA, which you never do, ex-DCI, ex-head of the CIA, William Hedgecock Webster, became a lawyer for Washington, D.C.-based firm known as Milbank, Tweed, Hadley, and McCloy. In 1993, when news broke about Walt Disney's FBI membership, ex-CIA head Webster worked with the Disney family to cover up to the public that Walt Disney was an FBI agent. Webster went on TV and had interviews to spread the fabrication that Walt was not connected to the FBI. Why? One of the countless items that Disney was involved in was the investigation into the disappearance or rape of a six-year-old child, Rosemarie Riddle, on 1-12-61. According to documents gotten from the Freedom of Information Act, W.G. Simon, that's a Jew, of course, was the FBI agent who met with SAC, special agent, you know, Walt Disney in L.A. about the case. W.G. Simon has been one of those people who has been publicly lying by claiming that Walt Disney never was an FBI agent. The paper trail proves otherwise. Why is it so important to the FBI and CIA to cover up that Walt was an FBI agent? Walt also worked for the CIA, even though documentation of that is not available. This author theorizes that one reason that the FBI and CIA are so touchy about letting people know that Walt worked for the government is that the network knows how the FBI and CIA work together to procure children for mind control programming purposes. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Did you just hear that? You know how I've been praying that the Father will send the angel of death to kill these child touchers because the law will not convict them. You see, this Epstein character, he got away before. And who knows, he may get away again. And the government knew about it for 10 years after he had got away the first time, and they just let him destroy child after child after child after child while they waited 10 years. You see? So listen, I told you the CIA and FBI are Jew. They're full of liars. Yeah, there's some white men that work for them, just like the Freemasons. You know, there's nothing new. But listen again. The network knows how the FBI and CIA work together to procure children for mind control programming purposes. You get it? And these two entities are just, they're touted in the Jewish-controlled mainstream media to be our friends, just like Jews, just like Israel is one of our best ally, aren't they? No, they're not. And neither is the FBI, which I've dubbed Foreign by Israel, and the CIA. They both have the number 9 in them, by the way. Because Disney and Disneyland played such an enormous role in mind control, Disney's connection to them, although on the surface a seemingly minor fact, is in reality a minor fact setting on top of an enormous ghastly secret. When World War II started, the government incorporated the Disney studios into the war machine. Did you hear that? So now if Disney is incorporated into the World War II machine, that means that the Jews, the mob, Disney, the military, and the agencies, all these agencies, the mob, the Mishpucha, all of them, they all work together. This is the proof of it. There's your link. Think about that for a while. And now you'll know why Disney has their own military, etc., etc. The military paid Disney $80,000 for 20 training cartoons, which cost Disney $72,000 to make. Wow, so they made a whole whopping $8,000. Disney Studios also made some secret films for the military. Mickey Mouse and Goofy cartoons were slanted to have war themes. For instance, the Goofy cartoon of 1941, The Art of Self-Defense, quote-unquote, and How to Be a Sailor, quote-unquote, in 1944, perhaps in honor of the contribution Disney had made to the war effort, Mickey Mouse, quote-unquote, was the password of the Allies for millions of men on the big D-Day invasion on June 6, 1944. Walt Disney produced a cartoon showing Donald Duck paying his taxes faithfully. The film was entitled The New Spirit. Hello, The New Spirit. The New Deal. It was very successful in getting Americans to comply with the IRS. In 1946, Disney made a film for the public schools for sex education entitled The Story of Menstruation for the United Nations. Walt Disney created It's a Small World, quote-unquote, attraction for UNICEF for the 64-65 World's Fair. This attraction was moved to the theme parks and has been a major feature for mind control. After learning of the enormous amount of mind control programming going on during and after hours in secret tunnels at Disney, as well as in the public facilities, it makes more sense why Russian Premier Nikita Khrushchev would be denied a visit to Disneyland by the U.S. government due to security considerations. Can you dig this? Now, I'm not even going to be able to finish this at this point. We're on page 244 here, all right? And I'll just mark it so that we'll know where we can start. So we're going to finish at this Premier Nikita Khrushchev, okay? That's where we finish just for this moment. And I'm telling you, there's so much more than meets the eye in all of this. It's just mind-blowing. I'm not really surprised, though. You know what I mean? Nothing surprises me just how deep and how evil this world is. This world is much more evil than you could ever imagine it to be. And I suggest you start praying against it. I suggest you call for its destruction to the Father. So I always give this information at the end of the show, and advice, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole or tunnel at Disney.
Just do the best as you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lives that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face, a man without.